Gordley, Representative Deborah Boone, out there being blown off of the sand dunes. And I believe that Bridget Burns will be joining us on the phone off and on. I don't believe, Bridget, are you on the phone now? Okay, she's not with us at this time. Let's launch right in here. This was a special meeting that we had to add because we had some things that needed to be done. And so we'll start right off with commission discussion and possible recommendations on the Government Standards and Practices Commission. And Commissioner Timchuk, will you lead us through this, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Refreshing everyone's memory on this this matter, one of the items presented to our committee, the Public Institution Committee, and through the testimony of Mr. Hearn, who at the time was the director of the Government Standards and Practices Commission, was the potential conflict created by the fact that the budgetary authority for the GSPC came from the state legislature. So, in effect, the state legislator was funding the organization that would investigate state legislators. And he was concerned that the possible conflicts there, the perception that they could be punished and have their budget reduced or strengthened depending on who or what they were investigating. The commission talked about this and decided that our committee, that it would be a good idea to find some other way to fund the commission. The problem, however, of course, is by law, the state legislature sets the budgets for state agencies, and this is a state agency. So you cannot actually remove the funding ability from the state legislature. So what we have decided to try to recommend, I should also add that the Oregon Law Commission is looking at this issue, and we believe that later this year they'll come out with some sort of recommendation where the Secretary of State, State Treasurer, and Attorney General will all recommend a budget to the governor or to the legislature for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. And then the legislature could either enact or not enact that budget. But the fact is that we can't take it out of the legislator's hands. So our recommendation would be that we recommend to the legislature that they identify, develop, and implement a stable source of funding for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. We were thinking perhaps of an assessment of public officials, as is done in many states, where every elected public official is assessed a minimal amount. That creates the budget, and therefore they have a stable source of funding, which is less subject to the whims of the legislators as to whether raising it or decreasing it. But there's a dedicated source of funding. So our recommendation, again, is to the legislature that they identify, develop, and implement a stable and dedicated source of funding for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. And then we'll extend the idea of an assessment along. But I don't want to limit them to that. Just that it's their responsibility to identify and develop and implement a stable and dedicated source of funding.
All right. Do you want to make that in the form of a motion?
I so do. I so move.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, so if we recommended that, would we still have to recognize that there would have to be some sort of a legislative approval of an expenditure limitation bill?
We can't get around that.
I don't necessarily want to get around that because I don't want to take – I think legislators have to face what they're supposed to face.
Right.
But anyhow, we still have to recognize that there is that there is that process. It wouldn't be a budget that came out with the rest of the budget if this were adopted, but it would still have to have an expenditure limitation from these other funds.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, you don't have to have an expenditure limitation. You could give them an ongoing appropriation you just don't limit their spending.
Right. But something has to be included in the governor's budget, and then the legislature has to approve the budget, so.
Not necessarily. Okay. It could just be a revenue transfer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Senator Morris, is that doable?
Really? It certainly is. We tackled this obviously unsuccessfully in the last session in our Senate or the Joint Ways and Means Committee on General Government, and that was chaired by Senator Johnson. And Senator Johnson and Senator Brown and I, we worked and we modeled trying to find a way to fund this commission outside of such a high dependence upon general funds. And what we found was when you model it and you look at all of the elected offices, clear down to city council, mayors, commissioners, all those positions that are elected in the state and subject to the laws, obviously, it would be very, very difficult to assign a fee to each one of those offices in an amount that would be palatable to fund the entire activity. And that was what we kept bumping up against. So as a practical matter, I think some blend of an assessment coupled with general fund is probably the solution.
Which is, I guess, why we chose not to make a specific recommendation, because
you're right, there are... But I know the sentiment on our general government committee was, where there just has to be something that's a different model than what we currently have, because, the whole innuendo of the political side of funding something this vital, it just isn't working right. So I think, as a practical matter, it'll be some kind of a blend, and it can happen. But the one good thing about coming out of the commission is that I believe it will help move local units of government to think more creatively about finding a solution as opposed to just dumping it back into the, all of it into the general fund. And there has been some reluctance to do that.
Co-Chair Wilhelms.
Madam Chair, could I direct a couple of questions to Commissioner Lattimore, please?
You may.
I'd like to explore the revenue transfer comment that you made that would evidently avoid either an appropriation or a expenditure limitation. Would that be a situation where you would just be transferring the revenue that was realized through the fees straight into the organization? Is that what that is?
I'm not exactly sure how a revenue transfer would work. We do revenue transfers to local governments of cigarette tax, liquor taxes, those kinds of things. But just because you have a dedicated set of revenues, you don't have to give them a limitation. They can spend whatever, if they don't have a limitation, expend whatever revenue they have. So the limitation is put in a bill by the legislature to limit the amount of money they can spend. And that's all it does. The general revenue appropriation appropriates a particular sum for them to spend. So it's different. If they have revenues that are dedicated to them and you don't limit their expenditures, they can spend as much right up to whatever revenue they get.
Wonderful. Then but any time there would be any general fund money given to that organization, it would take an appropriation by the legislature.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any comments from anyone on the phone? Anybody want to ask a question or make a comment?
I just wanted to, when Gary asked that question, I was actually going to ask something similar, and that's something I'd like to see happen if that was possible.
I believe that was Mr.
Boone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I have a question for Representative Boone.
Sir?
The part of the question that you're referring to is what? The transfer of funds or the unlimited ability of the commission to spend money?
Well, to just transfer the funds from the fees to the commission or whatever it's going to be called, the Ethics Commission.
Okay.
So that it's not touched by our grubby little hands, I guess. To say, I mean, I'm concluding my own little garbage hands, but I think it would be cleaner if it's possible to do it that way. That I would think that people would approve of that.
Any more comments, questions, Commissioner Lattimore?
I would sure want to talk to council about how that would work, the revenue transfer. I just don't know whether you can do that with a state agency. I know we transfer revenues to locals, but
I could add, Commissioner Lattimore, some words to the motion read something like, recommend to the legislature that they identify, develop, and implement a dedicated and stable source of funding for the GSPC, which is as non-dependent as legally possible from final approval by the legislature. Would that do the trick?
Yeah. Chair Wilhelms, did you have a comment?
Well, what we're talking about here, based on what Senator Morse has said, I think is that whatever we get from fees isn't going to be enough. Therefore, we will spend all of the money, all of the revenue that comes in from the fees, and we will still have to have an appropriation to keep the GSPC in operation. So the legislature really isn't avoiding anything, are they? I mean, the legislature is ultimately going to be the ones that got to write the check that allows the GSPC to continue its mission before the end of the biennium. It seems to me that that's where the discussion is.
Commissioner Latimer.
Madam Chair, that the only problem is that you get into a situation where, and we've seen this in local governments as well as at state level, that agencies will spend the general fund first because they know that's what they've got, and I would imagine the legislature would want to have more control over the way they expend their money if you're combining general fund with other funds. I mean, that's been my experience anyway. Maybe it's going to change.
Madam Chair,
Boone
again.
Yes.
And I was thinking the same thing, and I don't know, this is talking, I'm making this up. Maybe we can divide it into uses and say that the fee money would pay for the investigative faction of the commission or division, and then the other one would pay for prescribed salary expenses, et cetera, for the staff, and that they would be set in the statute, that they would be funded at this level or staffed at this level.
We talked about that idea and others in the committee, and I think the conclusion we reached that we just didn't want to be that specific, and that if we just give them the legislature the charge, as Senator Morris said, they obviously are aware of it and had discussed it, that we expect them to get this done in the next session. I think that's legally probably our, given the state of the law, our best option.
I agree.
All right.
And
yeah.
Chair,
yes,
Chair Pryor, could you have Kerry repeat that
yes.
motion? I couldn't quite understand him when he first.
I would move that the commission adopt the recommendation to the next session of the legislature that they identify, develop, and implement a dedicated and stable source of funding for the Government Standards and Practices Commission, which is as non-dependent on legislative approval as legally possible. There you go. So.
Okay, I think we had a motion already. So do you want to withdraw that one and make this one?
I hereby withdraw my original one and make the one I just made. So.
Thank you very much. And you got that over there? You know what we're doing? All right. All right. Any more comments from anyone on the phone?
Not here.
No.
All right, very good. Any more comments, questions? Yes, Commissioner Lindy.
Madam Chairman, this is a perfectly okay motion. I just wanted to draw your attention again to a recommendation which I hope this group would agree to. It's certainly what the Law Commission would prefer, and that is that the investigative staff would not have to come out of the GSPC budget because they would be able to draw upon this newly created independent investigative arm for investigators. So that to the extent that you want to do away with the executive director or you want to do away with the education program, that the legislature would probably not want to do that. But as far as they want to say, well, let's limit the amount of investigators, the budget would not be an effective way for the legislature to accomplish that limitation because the statute would authorize them to use investigators that exist anyway. So you wouldn't have that line item anymore of how many investigators would the what the CSPC gets.
Is there any more discussion or thoughts to the motion?
I have a question. Are all of the investigators that are used to investigate complaints filed with the GSPC GSPC investigators, or do we ever use AG investigators? I've always thought that they were all Ethics Commission people.
I think so, too. I think that's fine, but I don't know the answer.
Any more discussion to the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barrows?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns?
No, I don't think so.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan? Commissioner Frommeyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Herring?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner
Carmel? Yes.
Commissioner Lang?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Yes.
Commissioner Morton?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Yes.
Commissioner Seeley?
Yes.
Commissioner Timchuk?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Pryor?
Yes.
Co-Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Is this the first motion? Yes. Mr. All right, it's unanimous. All right, let's move on to, now we've been waiting for this with bated breath. So we are going to get into a, what was that word, spirited discussion about partisanship. And we want to thank Senator Morris for giving us a document to focus the discussion. And Senator, would you like to walk us into the discussion?
With fear and trepidation. Yes. I would appreciate doing that. The irony of this moment ought not to be lost on the commission. This day represents, without question, the apex of partisanship of any day of the year or of the political cycle. This is an absolute apex of partisanship. The day before November 7th election, general election. So this discussion is certainly relevant. We've characterized this by way of a problem statement, questions to consider, focusing on system recommendations and then on culture recommendations. The fundamental, I think, question to consider it is the legislature too partisan, recognizing that partisanship is just part of politics and it's a normal thing. Is it too partisan? And by way of answering that, the question, I think, and a number of questions can be posed related to that, is when you have legislation that is supported broadly by both parties in both chambers, should it be blocked arbitrarily by leadership? That's a fundamental question. And does that thwart the essence of representative government? Is too much power vested in too few? Does the present system of majority rule diminish the stature of the legislature in the minds of citizens? And, of course, that's why we're here. This is the public commission, to try to enhance that image of this body in the electorate. I referenced a quote that was given by Representative Jeff Merkley, and in this election cycle, I think it's relevant, and I would like to read it. There is, however, an aspect of our system that encourages partisan behavior, exacerbates conflict between the caucuses, and makes tough campaigns inevitable. And we certainly know we have tough campaigns going on today. That problem is the overwhelming authority given to the majority within our legislative system. And the reality is that for members of the minority party to be effective representatives of their constituents, they must invest significant time and energy to become the majority. This is where partisanship becomes problematic for the deliberative process. So I think the question then follows for this commission, is there a nexus between the structure of the legislature or the system and the behavior of excessive partisanship? The second question is, does the present system grant sufficient rights to the minority party? And if not, then what rights should the minority party have? And again, the question is too much power vested in too few. Now, by way of system recommendations, and this is not a comprehensive list. There are a number of other things that also could be considered, but these, I believe, do have merit. The first being how the presiding officers are elected. If they were conducted by secret ballot, that would give the opportunity for members to vote based on their best judgment as to who is best qualified to lead, as opposed to political pressures and persuasions. The second issue, and this is a pretty sudden departure from past practice, is pro tem officers should be from the minority party. That would allow the minority party to be engaged in more of the machinery and the management of each legislative session at that presiding officer level. Vice chairs should be for minority parties. Now, in the Senate this last session, we did have vice chairs from the minority party. I think the House had some vice chairs, and in fact had one subcommittee that had a chair even from the minority party. But what that does is I think by way of standards, it does open up the discussion and require the minority party to be engaged in the process of finding solutions to complex problems, as opposed to just running the table with, you know, all of the majority members. In terms of how committees are crafted, it seems to me to be logical to engage minority leadership in making that determination in terms of how minority members are assigned to committees, that it be a collaborative process. Consultation, and it should be exactly that, as consultation, a give and take of information about experience, skills, interest, and aptitude of legislators for the kind of work that the committee's doing. And then the last is more of a statement, I think, than maybe a recommendation, but rules exist for the purpose of assuring efficient functioning of the legislative process. And to the extent that they are manipulated for policy purposes, we run the risk of diminishing the stature of the legislature. By way of culture recommendations, again, how do we develop a more collaborative environment for discussions between the majority and the minority leadership regarding legislative priorities? This could be very easily done in terms of each caucus has obviously their caucus agenda, would be to recognize the minority party and their agenda and give it a voice in the session. The second is that presiding officers should, in practice, not because they do in theory, but actually in practice, represent the body as a whole and not use their authority to prevent debate. Again, a collaborative style of leadership. The third is establish collaborative processes that include the minority in session management. In terms of scheduling hearings, notices of policies, and those kinds of things, the actual structuring of the assembly. And then the fourth, by way of a culture recommendation, allow the minority party with demonstrable evidence of a majority of the members of the chamber in support to require a bill to move the floor for debate and vote. And again, the rules of procedure ought not to exclude that right. So, by way of summary, I think that in fact, if you, not just in this organization, but any organization, if you're looking at making positive changes in the structures and the systems and the way it operates, you quite often, and most often, will see positive changes in the way that people behave within those systems. And the last, by way of summary, is, and this is a conviction of mine, that if unless it's sanctioned, essentially by rule, to have a more collaborative process, the pressures of political, the political pressures within caucuses to run the table will be so strong that it would be very difficult for the leadership to manage that caucus environment unless the rules of the system, in fact, obligate the leadership to think more collaboratively in how the legislature is run. So I thank you, co-chairs, for this opportunity to talk to this issue. I fundamentally believe that how we are perceived by the public is driven more by the excessive partisanship and the way the body conducts its business than anything else that we do. And to that extent, how we can positively address that by way of recommendations, I think would go a long way to restoring that trust and confidence in representative government and how we operate. So thank you.
Thank you. We are almost at the end of our work. And with respect to including some of these things in the report, I think it would be very helpful now for us to focus on each one of these recommendations to see whether or not it should move forward. So to that end, I'd like to try to take the first one, unless you had a comment to deal with this.
I wanted to say one thing as kind of a preamble to the conversation, to this discussion. And that seems to be some confusion about what
Could you pull your microphone over, please?
There seems to be some confusion or lack of consensus about what partisanship is, and I think it would be well for us as a committee, as a commission, to It would be well for us as a commission to identify what we mean by partisanship, which is not difference per se.
Right. For those of you on the phone that couldn't hear,
the last part of the statement, which is not different from what was
that? It's not the fact that people have differing opinions about things. That's not partisanship. Partisanship, in my way of thinking about it, is when that difference, it's how people deal with difference. In a business, we call it being political. In government, we call it being partisan. In a family, we call it being selfish. It's about self-interest or tribal interest, Democrat, Republican, over common interest or shared interest or shared good, shared value. And I think that's important to keep in mind. Otherwise, it just the conversation devolves down to, well, we can't do anything about partisanship because people are going to have differences. Yeah, people are going to have differences. It's how we deal with that difference. Are we attempting to find common ground or not? And I think that's what these recommendations speak so well to, is creating an environment in which common ground can be encouraged structurally and by the system, rather than hope that people will swim upstream in the face of everything working against them in order to be collaborative.
All right. In order for us to get the report done, let's have a brief discussion on what we believe our definition of partisanship is. And we start just with what Commissioner Merton has said. But really, we're not going to be able to let that go on if we're going to work through this. So let's say we're going to discuss that for 10, no more than 15 minutes, and then we'll move on. So, okay, who I saw, Commissioner Hassing, and then I believe Commissioner Cease. We'll go from there.
Thank you. I'm not sure that 10 minutes is really necessary. I think we understand what we're talking about here. We're not talking about political differences because we know we can't eliminate those. In fact, we wouldn't want to. We know they're going to be losers and they're going to be winners in the legislative process. All we're talking about is that the business be conducted in such a way that the minority feels it has a stake in the process and has a voice. That's all. We don't want to guarantee that the minority is going to make its points unless it has the votes. That's all. So I don't think we need 10 minutes about this. I think we understand what we're trying to do here.
Commissioner Cease? Did you want
no,
to
I'm,
Commissioner
I'm,
Carmel?
I was going to make a motion, so I'll wait.
All right. Commissioner Schutte?
I just want to also say that I think we're talking about having the voice heard in a meaningful way in deliberations and also a recognized stake in how the body operates. And in that context, I think it would be useful for us to at least consider the first three system recommendations as a group when we begin.
I have a question of the proposer. Commissioner Morris, your suggestion is very well done. These are recommendations, and it is not all inclusive. There are other recommendations that could be included. This varies a little bit from some of the other things we've suggested that are sort of mandatory. I mean, this is black and white. But these are suggestions for the leadership of the legislature to take a look at. Am I correct?
That would be my understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you accept, when it comes time, a kind of a general statement at the end along the lines that these and other suggestions should be considered by the majority and minority leadership? Something that would say this is not the end of the road.
Absolutely. I think that this was never intended to be a definitive, but some ideas that I believe would be helpful. So absolutely, Commissioner.
Commissioner Cease.
Madam Chair, I agree with almost everything that everybody said, and especially Commissioner Herring's suggestion that we not try to do a definition of partisanship, but agree that it's whether the minority has a voice in the process. I do have one really major problem with one piece of the recommendations, and I don't know when you want to get to that.
Okay, well, if we are all reasonably agreed on what we're talking about partisanship, we can move on. Is there anyone on the phone that would like to make a comment?
Not yet.
All right.
This is Dave Frohnmeyer. Just two of them, really, and they're basic and probably really assumed by Senator Morse and others. But the first is that if you're going to have measures dealing with partisanship, they ought to force the majority to be accountable. So accountability, not only on the spot, but in an electoral sense, accountable for its use of power. And the other reciprocal part of that is minority rights to participate in a meaningful way, even knowing that they do not have the votes, perhaps, to become the majority, either in the legislative assembly at the time or because of the electoral process. So majority accountability, minority rights of participation are, to me, the two guiding principles that would justify any changes or augmentations of the rules in this regard.
I'll speak now. This is as good a time as any, I guess. I think that Commissioner Morse, my good colleague, has captured very well the problem and the opportunity. With that said, however, I do believe that we are missing one opportunity, and that is that we apparently are not going to adequately address the issue of open caucuses or closed caucuses. Again, in my view, that part of the way in which the structure currently operates is a process that locks out the public. The process belongs to the people and not to the parties. I've said that before. This is an opportunity to say it again. But again, with that said, I support what Commissioner Morris has brought forward. I'm ready to vote for what he has captured as system recommendations and also as recommendations to improve the culture.
All right. Co-chair Wilhelm.
Well, I have an agreement with what Commissioner Morris has proposed under the heading questions, with one exception. It's my personal belief, and it's probably not shared by a majority, that the structure of the legislature is not the problem. And I will be very personally resisting very much change in the structure of the legislative process. If you want to be critical of the exercise of leadership by both the majority and the minority, I'm with you. And I'll stay in there and support whatever you think you might be able to do about that, which frankly probably doesn't boil down to any more than just exercise of the golden rule. But to attempt to screw up the structure of the legislature, I'm going to be real skeptical of anything like that. Now, and I want to reiterate that we've bashed the majority, and the majority in this legislature, it's great because it's both sides. Depends on which house you're in. So you can bash them all you want. You're not talking RD, you're talking majority-minority. And so it's great to bash them. And over a period of time, we'll all find that we're in the other role at some point. Both sides are guilty of manipulating the rules when both the majority is and so is the minority. And so to talk about changing the rules of procedure in the legislature, you ought to look at those things that the minority can do to screw up the majority, as well as what the majority can do to screw down the minority. And I wanted to say that before we get into the specific proposals that you have here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mr. Co-Chair. And you spoke to the questions that we should consider.
Wanted to point out that I have a disagreement with one word in the questions, and that's the word structure. I'm not suggesting you change anything.
All right. Yeah. Any other?
I have a question, and it doesn't have to do with the issue of partisanship, but it does have. It's a fundamental question before we get to these things individually, if I may, at some point.
Please.
Now?
Please.
Okay. Two questions. Number one, any of the committees of this commission looked at this question, studied, discussed it, massaged it, or is it just coming to us as a full commission and then we're going to, I just wondered if a committee had looked at it at all and dealt with it. And and it leads to my second question, which is, Representatives Buckley and Esquivel have come up with a pretty widely circulated series of proposed changes, which go farther than this. And I'm not indicating that I support that proposal or any parts of it, but I wondered if it had been looked at by anybody.
I believe that we have had off and on discussions at this table about partisanship.
Right.
I don't know that it was assigned to a committee.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, as you remember, we've had a discussion about partisanship with this commission. I think partisanship has been touched on by almost every committee in one way or another, and the Esquivel-Buckley recommendations are very similar to some of the recommendations that have come out or been discussed in many of our committee meetings. So I don't know where the chicken and egg come in with that.
Thank you.
Mr. Carmel.
Is it in order to make a motion now about the first of these items?
No.
I think that I want to make sure first that everyone's had an opportunity to make comments.
Madam Chairman, just to answer your question or somebody's question, if any committee, I guess it was Mr. Bell's question. In fact, the process committee did specifically take up the problem.
Can't hear.
The process committee came up with one recommendation, certainly discussed questions about partisan control, and the recommendation I just want to remind you of was a recommendation which addressed what is the key problem today, which is the connection between campaign financing and the need to produce a majority outcome. And we made a recommendation on that, which this commission said, oh, that's not practical and won't work, and so it didn't go anywhere. But we did, in fact, address it with a concrete focus on the question of the leadership, of the relationship between the leadership of the each caucus and its fundraising needs, if that's the word I want. So that's just an answer. I'm not making any point here. Just answer the question.
Thank you. Commissioner Seeley.
I just want to clarify process. I know we're talking possibly motions here. We have yet gotten to a point where this is a general conversation still,
yes.
And then you're going to then one by one go through and have a discussion about each and then a vote?
Yes, that's exactly what I'd like to do.
Thank you.
So that we're very clear what's going to go in the report.
Thank you.
All right.
Madam Chair, can you paraphrase what Commissioner Carmel said? I couldn't hear her.
I just asked if it was in order to make a motion at this time, and it wasn't.
She meant me.
Okay, but I think we are getting there. Commissioner Tim Jones.
Mr. Taylor was refreshing my memory, but as I recall, at some earlier full commission meeting, this commission has recommended that the legislature study the possibility of being entirely nonpartisan.
Yes.
Fitting, you know, these in, Senator Morris, fitting these in with that recommendation, some of them are counterintuitive or counter to that recommendation. If that recommendation were ever adopted and the Utah legislature was nonpartisan, then these, of course, would be moot. Something for the fire.
I don't think so.
All right, I want to very quickly here try to get us to the first one of these recommendations, Commissioner Herring, and then Commissioner Bronner.
I do think we ought to deal with Coach Wilhelm's reservation about this whole process, and that is that if we're just going to end up recommending that members of the legislature and its leaders observe the golden rule, then we could just do that now. I mean, but I think if we, if we don't have votes to hear the votes here to recommend that actually that rule changes take place to enforce some sort of consideration of the minority or the majority. I mean, the rule changes to accomplish what we're trying to do here. Then, these are two different directions. We ought to decide which way to go. I mean, I can see, I have no trouble, nobody would have any trouble to recommending that the Speaker and the President and all their officers be nice to each other, you know, that sort of thing, and that they recommend and that they consider the interests of the minority, keeping in mind that they might soon be the minority, that sort of thing. I mean, or just from the standpoint of common courtesy, letting the other guy have a say and a vote, even that sort of thing.
Ready for a motion?
Pardon me?
Are you ready for a motion?
I'd say so. Yeah.
I believe I'm taking the signal that you're ready for item one. It is my belief that there is a constitutional prohibition against that we would run into a problem in having a secret ballot.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's begin the discussion on the system recommendations, and we will take the first one, which Mr. Bronner has launched us into.
I don't know.
On
that,
electing presiding officers by secret ballot. Mr. Gerber, and then
I agree on the. And first of all, Commissioner Morris, I really appreciate the work that you did on this.
Can I hear?
Okay, I'll try to speak up.
Thank you.
Pull it right up to you, unfortunately.
I appreciate the work that Senator Morris has done on this. It's very thoughtful. The only one that I really have a problem with is the first one, and that is the secret ballot. And I don't know if there would be a constitutional prohibition, but in terms of the Oregon Public Meetings Law, which the legislature doesn't follow, it wouldn't be allowed, you know, at a city council level or a school board level. And I think it's an important vote that legislators take, and the public would want to know how they voted on it. So unless there was some way of recording the vote for later public revelation, I wouldn't be able to support that, and that would probably defeat the purpose if it was recorded in any way. So all the other recommendations, I think, are appropriate, but the first one I have a problem with.
I don't know that you'll accept a negative motion, but I would move to delete it.
All right.
Commissioner Morse?
There is a motion now on the table to delete the first one, elect the residing officer by secret ballot, and we will speak now to that motion.
I wanted to ask Commissioner Morse a question.
Yes, please, Commissioner Gordley.
Thank you. Commissioner Morse, could you speak to the wording that you have here, electing the presiding officer by secret ballot, as opposed to the process that currently exists, or the process as we know it, and how you would see a secret ballot process taking place?
If I might respond, and thank you, Senator Gordley, for the question. What I would envision is the Secretary of the Senate would be the one that would receive the ballots. As we know the process now, at least in my experience, the majority party within their caucus determines who is going to be the presiding officer, and the minority party is totally disengaged from that process. And that's just as a practical matter. And then when you show up on the floor, you line up with a courtesy vote because it's been extended. The decision has already been made as to who the presiding officer will be. It's not been a part of the minority caucus process. So my thought would be that the Secretary of the Senate or the what's Ramona? Chief Clerk of the House would be the person that would receive those ballots and declare the presiding officer.
All right. Commissioner Gordley, did you have a follow-up?
I think that Senator Morse, by his answer, has clarified that the process that we currently engage in has its own secrecy. And is a process that takes place behind closed doors, or if there's a part of it that takes place behind closed doors. And what the senator is offering up is a process that would have some more transparency. Individual members would cast a vote. That vote would then be affirmed on the floor.
Was that a question?
That is a question.
Excuse me, I didn't understand the last part of the question.
The vote, the individual members would cast a vote. The votes would be counted by the Secretary of the Senate, and then that would be announced on the floor, or the members would vote on the floor.
My recommendation would be that the Secretary of the Senate receive the ballots and announce the results. And do that on the floor of the Senate and the House.
Okay.
All right, Commissioner Carmel.
Well, I was originally prepared to recommend a motion to recommend a secret ballot. I take it that the constitutionality issue surrounds the word secret. Am I correct about that? As distinct from an everybody votes.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So it
I'm
seems
sorry,
to me
it's difficult to hear, Commissioner Carmel.
If the constitutionality issue surrounds the word secret, then what I would like to do is to argue against the current motion, which is to delete this item. And I would argue that if secret won't pass constitutional muster, then it would be a reasonable alternative for the presiding leaders of both houses to be elected by an at-large ballot to be counted in whatever way would meet constitutional muster, as distinct from that decision being made de facto in the parties. So, as you may have noticed, I am at arm's length from the legislature. I have no dog in this fight. But I continually observe that the only organizing principle in this room, in the hallways, in the building, the only organizing principle is party, not all parties, just two, a majority party and a minority party. So it strikes me that at-large election of the presiding officers is one important step, whether however recorded, at-large election of presiding officers is a very important step in the direction of a different organizing principle, which I will call competence to do the job. And anything that this body can do to recommend any alternative organizing principle or additional organizing principle, I would consider to be a huge step forward. I also believe that at-large...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
A question. I had heard someone say that there was a constitutional problem, Oregon constitutional problem, I assume, with the secret ballot. As I was rereading the legislative provisions, it does provide for the yeas and nays on legislative measures to be recorded, but I could not find a provision in the Constitution that applies to the election of officers. Is there someone from Legislative Council or someone who knows off the top of his or her head whether elections as opposed to measures are required right now to be open?
Marjorie.
Well, commission members, according to the Senate rules, the presiding officers are to be elected by roll call vote. But we're looking through the Constitution and can't quite identify whether it's required for an individual vote for a presiding officer or not.
Hey, Commissioner Frohmeyer, this is Commissioner Timchuk, and I've got the Constitution here as well. And as you said, Section 11 grants each house its own authority to choose its own officers, and so that's a constitutional grant to choose their officers. It doesn't specify the way. Section 13 requires that each house keep a journal of its proceedings, and the yeas and nays on each question shall be entered. Section 14, Commissioner Frohmeyer, requires that deliberations to be open. The deliberations of each house, of committees of each house or joint committees, and of committees of the whole shall be open. Could it be argued that that requires a public vote?
Well, it could be. I just to telegraph where I am on this, even if it doesn't, the vote for speaker or president is the single most important vote typically that an individual member casts all session. And to think that that vote is not, in fact, publicly recorded, given the consequences that can follow from the selection of the speaker or the president, is contrary to a notion of openness, even if it is not specifically constitutionally required.
All right. I'm going to go in order as we've been trying to go here, and I knew this was going to happen, and we're going to wander a bit. Commissioner Carmel, I am not unmindful of the suggestion that you just made, but I want to go on here a bit and see where we go, okay? Commissioner Hill? No? All right. No. Commissioner Cease?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to support the recommendation to delete this one piece. I think the rest of it, I feel really comfortable with the rest of it. It feels ironic to me that we're sitting here talking about things that we can recommend that would make the legislature and the legislative process look improved or better or more open or something like that to the public. And I sort of had this flash in my head the day after the organization that the headlines say, legislators elect officers in secret. And I thought, well, that would really help. And it bothered me, and I agree that I think it is one of the most important votes that ever happens, because at least as long as we believe that there should be strong management, that it has to be accountable, and accountability is a big piece of what I'm feeling would have to change here. And it just seems to me that that this is not a good idea if we're trying to talk about how we recommend improvements to the system. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Garber.
I think Commissioner Carmel kind of identified the issue, and that is there's the issue of the secret ballot, but it seems like the issue we're trying to get at really is at-large election of the presiding officers so that they're not elected solely by the majority caucus. And I don't know if there's another way to get at that without a secret ballot, but I would be open to that, whereas I agree with the comments of Commissioner Cease, Commissioner Frommeyer about the secret ballot.
Commissioner Latimer.
I agree with everybody. Commissioner Carmel talked about organizing principles, and it seems to me that the principle inherent in this is that the presiding officer is presiding over the entire body, not the majority party, but the entire body, and we've kind of gotten away from that. The election by secret ballot is kind of, I mean, we can argue about that forever. I think the most important thing, though, is that we have elected leaders who are essentially managers of the entire body, and we used to have that. When I started a long time ago, we've tended to move away from that for some reason. We have a majority leader. We have a minority leader. The speaker and the president should be speaker and president of the entire body. How you get to that, I don't know. But I do think that Senator Morris has, with his memo here, has really done us a great service. So I appreciate it.
Commissioner Lindy, and then back to Commissioner Morris, and then I want to see where we are. Commissioner Lindy.
Madam Chair, first a comment, and then I want to pose just a factual question that I don't recall the answer to. First, I agree with Commissioner Latimer. We have sort of taken it for granted that somehow being the presiding officer means that you exercise a great deal of substantive power over legislation. Interestingly, the model that's being proposed here is the model that is used in Nebraska, which is a nonpartisan legislature, where the presiding officer is just that, a traffic manager, a person who knows how to run, where things go and how they get there, but does not have any particular policy power, in that the party's positions are, in fact, led by the majority-minority leaders and not the presiding officer. I mean, that's something you could do by rule if you wanted to. It's not the one we've used apparently recently. Now, my question, I want to ask somebody who's old enough to remember. It seems to me I can remember a time once when there were three members of one of the parties who joined with the opposing party to create the presiding officer and then organize the Senate. I don't remember what year that was, but what I'm curious about is whether anything in whether the caucus system is a consequence, not of any rule, but just of the greater insistence on the doctrinal and programmatic cohesion of a party elected under a party label, because it used to be that, of course, you could find a compromise person in the middle, regardless of party identification, and make that person the presiding officer. And I don't remember when that happened. But
Commissioner, I have
does
found,
anybody remember
I have,
that?
Yes, I have found someone old enough to,
no. I remember it.
To help us with that.
Well, I'm going to defer to someone much older than I am.
I remember it too.
This is the model that occurred for, I think, at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The model that Commissioner Lindy just described. Both times that Debs Potts was president of the Senate, Harry Boivin was president of the Senate, John Burns was president of the Senate, and I think there's one other, and I miss, because I am older than Gary, I can't remember. But there was a period of time in the 60s when the Republicans, who had 13, 12, 14 votes in the Senate, built a coalition with two or three conservative Democrats and elected a presiding officer. I mean, all the Constitution, I mean, all that has to happen is somebody's got to find 16 votes in the Senate. 16 people to say, that's the one I want as my president. As we have this discussion, I think it is critical to remember how powerful
these individuals are. We talk about the power of the majority leader of the U.S. Senate or the power of the Speaker of the House of the U.S. House of Representatives. They have no power in comparison to the power of the presiding officers in Oregon, because the presiding officers in Oregon select all the committee members. They don't have parliamentarians to tell them where the bills have to go. They determine where the bills go. And in our system, the committees make all the decisions. Now, if you want to have at all what we used to call in law school the whole bundle of sticks in real property, if you want the whole bundle of sticks, what else would you need? What additional powers do you need as a presiding officer other than the ones I've just enumerated? And the answer is none. So however this person is selected, secret or open, and I'm, with all due respect, Barbara, I'm not clear exactly what at-large means. I'm having problem understanding what that term describes. But in any event, it is just a matter of somebody either finding all within their own party, or mostly within their own party and maybe a couple from the other party, 16 votes or 31 votes. But once they have them, it is critically important how that process is arrived at, because those people have unbridled power. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that isn't that what it is. If they have the votes.
Commissioner Morris.
Thank you. Marjorie was so kind to explore with the National Conference of State Legislatures, posing the question, what other states do with respect to this. And to the extent that looking at the report that was sent, there is nothing that's uniform. There are some that by constitution are prohibited. It has to be by voice vote. There are others that do it by secret ballot at the opening session. But the majority of practice within the states seems to be, if there is any application of a secret ballot, it's within the caucus. So the caucus, within that caucus meeting, it's a secret ballot, and then it emerges then as you find that center as a unanimous ballot on the floor, and that's essentially how it happens. So rather than broadening this to a concept of secret ballot on the floor of the Senate, probably would help if it was secret ballot within the caucuses. I realize that runs counter to the open meeting laws, but that's the way things operate now.
Yes.
All right. I'd like to see where we are. There's a motion on the floor to not include this number one, elect presiding officer by secret ballot, not to include it in the report. And I'd like to see where we are. I'd like to roll call vote on the motion, please.
Commissioner Barros?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Bode?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
Aye.
Commissioner Burns, has she joined
us
yet?
Yeah.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan joined us yet?
I don't believe so.
There she is. Both aye.
I'll tell you what to do.
Commissioner Brownmeyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
No.
Commissioner Herring?
No.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
No.
Commissioner Lang?
Aye.
Commissioner Latimer?
I'm going to vote no, but I want to know if I explain my vote.
Commissioner Lehman?
No.
Commissioner Lindy?
Aye.
Commissioner Merton?
No.
Commissioner Morris?
No.
Commissioner Schutte?
No.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timchuk?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
No.
Pro-Chair Pryor?
No.
Pro-Chair Wilhelm?
Aye.
All right. We did not get a majority. So we will continue this discussion.
Now, I want to go back to Commissioner Carmel and give her an opportunity to make a few more comments and elaborate a bit on what you were saying before.
Thank you, Commissioner, Co-Chair. I am not expert enough in election law to be able to answer your question. So what I would recommend in this difficult situation where we're not sure whether we have legal problems, we're not sure, we certainly have not parsed out what the options are to a secret ballot, I would recommend that the commission refer this particular item to the process committee, and with apology to Co-Chair Lang or to Chair Lang, perhaps we could have a phone meeting between now and the final meeting of this commission next week. I don't think that we can come to grips with this on this day in this room, given the questions that have been raised.
Do we have time to do this?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we'll certainly accommodate whatever you want to do. I would strongly advise against having an additional committee meeting. I don't know how you'll come to a resolution and include it in the final report, which you're to consider next Monday. But we can move meetings around, schedule additional meetings, whatever you want
to
do.
The other alternative would be to ask Senator Morris if he can craft the statement such that it would meet the muster of this commission and the law.
All right. I want to remind everyone that any constitutional problem can be referred to the voters and resolved. And having filled that
by secret ballot.
Yes. Correct. Commissioner Merton, then Commissioner Latimer, and then Co-Chair Wilhelms.
Maybe we could remind ourselves of the difference between purpose and method here, and it might be easier to agree on purpose, which is we'd like, if I've heard this correctly and based on what Commissioner Barrow said, this is such an important action, the election of the presiding officer, that we could declare our intent and let the legislature figure out how to solve the problem. And I think that intent is something about the whole body being represented in the selection of presiding officers, and that presiding officer represent the whole body, not the majority party, and let them figure out how to solve the problem. But let's get the purpose on the table, what our intent is.
Commissioner Latimer.
Amen. That's exactly what I was going to say. The reason I voted no on my good friend Commissioner Bronner's motion was because I want something in here that speaks to the organizing principle of the body, and that the presiding officer is in fact representative of the entire body, not just the majority party.
Co-Chair Wilhelms.
This is in the form of a parliamentary inquiry, which I think I know the answer to. The motion, your intent, Madam Co-Chair, was to vote on each of the items in the system recommendations section individually. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. If that's correct, the motion that was made previously was to delete this item from what? I don't know. Now, I figure if I make a motion to pass this item and it fails, it's over. So I therefore make that motion. I move that we pass item one, the elected presiding officers by secret ballot, and make no mistake about why I'm making the motion.
Okay.
I move that we pass item one.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Isn't there discussion?
No.
Commissioner.
Commissioner Bowden?
No.
Commissioner Bronner?
No.
Commissioner Cease?
No.
Commissioner Duncan?
No.
Commissioner Frommeyer?
No.
Commissioner Garber?
No.
Commissioner
Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner
Harry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
No.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lang?
No.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 A
Commissioner Lindy?
He's absent.
Commissioner Merton?
Yes.
Commissioner Morse?
Aye.
Commissioner Schuette?
Yes.
Commissioner Seeley?
No.
Commissioner Timchuk?
No.
Commissioner Wilson?
No.
Co-chair Pryor?
Yes.
Co-chair Wilhelms?
Yeah, you can vote any way you want.
All right. Number one will not be included in the report.
At 10 to 13.
10 to 13. All right.
I think, Madam Chair,
yes.
Understanding very clearly what the vote was about and that we have made a statement that this item will not be in the report, the other language along with that bullet, after you get past the word, the phrase secret ballot, says this would afford an individual member the opportunity to vote for a person the member believes would do the best job as leader of the entire body. That's where the emphasis was placed in my mind. And if there's, I don't know if there's going to be a way to go back and take this from the delete bin or not, but for whatever it's worth.
Okay. We will have a brief discussion of that. Commissioner Timchuk and then Commissioner Morris.
I would also note, Madam Chair, that when we get to culture recommendations, one of the recommendations reads, presiding officers should, in practice, represent the body as a whole and not use authority to prevent debate, which is the purpose that we are all looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Commissioner Morris.
Thank you, and I do appreciate that, and I think it is part of the culture recommendations. Would, in light of the comment that was made by Commissioner Latimer, would a motion to the wording, the organizing principle of the presiding officer is to be representative of all members. To that end, the process of selecting the presiding officer should engage all members.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's I'm not sure if that accomplishes anything. Probably not.
I think it does now, but that's fine.
I think that's as close as we're going to get.
Make the motion.
Is that in the form of a motion?
I would move that if the chair would accept it.
I would, and could you please read it again so we're sure we all know what it says?
Well, I have a hard time reading my own writing.
There's a way of saying it.
Okay. Well, I'll try this again. The organizing principle of the presiding officer is to be representative of all members. To that end, the process of selecting the presiding officer should engage all members.
The motion is to recommend a principle.
This is a little number one.
Now you recommend a principle. I really don't want much discussion on this.
Well, you won't. It seems to me that that is the organizing principle now.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it doesn't. It seems to me an empty. It expresses something, but it's really empty because that is what the principle is now, and it's not being followed.
That's right.
Right.
Awful point.
All right. The question has been called. Roll call vote, and then we're going to move on.
Commissioner Barros?
Yes.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
Aye.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Frohnmeyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Herring?
Sure.
Okie dokie.
Commissioner Lang? Commissioner Latimer?
You betcha.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Merton?
Yes.
Commissioner Morse?
Aye.
Commissioner Schuette?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timchuk?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Co-chair Pryor?
No.
No.
Okay. Commissioner Bronner.
Could we try something, Madam Co-Chair? I move the approval of the balance of what's before
that's
us.
That's just where I was moving. No. That's just where I was going next. Right?
Don't do that.
Why?
The entire rest of the document.
All right, it passed. All right, we have submitted a principal to the report. Now, Commissioner Bronner.
I'd like to move the balance of the recommendations that are before us with the inclusion of the final bullet under summary. These and other suggestions should be considered by both the majority and minority leadership.
All right. My understanding is you are moving the remainder of the system recommendations regarding rules and the culture recommendations.
That is correct.
And the summary with an addition.
These and other suggestions should be considered by both the majority and minority leadership.
All right, that is the motion. Is there any discussion to the motion? Commissioner,
it's going to take a minute. I want to ask a question. And I don't know how long the answer's going to take. The question is, is either the present situation, or does this suggestion recommend that vice chairs have any particular authority or any role that is distinct from any other member?
Commissioner Morris, do you want to tackle that?
And the question was, does the vice chair have any
prescribed authority? What is the significance, other than symbolic, of having a vice chairman? Just an informational question. What power does a vice chair have as distinguished? I mean, you know, they preside when the presiding genius is off the floor or whatever, away from the committee room. But apart from that, is there any special power given to a vice chair?
I'm not aware of any by rule. If the chair is absent in the committee, the committee is chaired by the vice chair normally.
Yeah.
I would suggest that it's more the thought of reaching out to
symbolic.
The other party.
Just symbolic.
Yes.
Could I take a shot at that, Madam Chair?
Yes, and then
I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know that it says so in here, but when I was in the legislature, at least in the House, I was a Democrat, I'm still am, of course, and all of the vice chairs were Republican. Every week, Representative Markham and I met together with staff, and we put together the agenda for the week, and we mapped out what we had to deal with. We didn't say necessarily how we were going to do it, but we mapped out the issues that we felt we had to deal with and the bills we felt we had to deal with. And at least at that point in time, some of us were dealing with the vice chairs as a viable part of the management of the full committee. And it certainly produced some beneficial results in terms of working together and in terms of just being legislators together, as well as, I would hope, some good transportation legislation. But anyhow, I think that it's an important piece.
Commissioner Barrows.
The only thing I would add is this is a model that continues today, Commissioner Lindy, in some cases, but it's a voluntary model. Some chairs spend a lot of time with their vice chair. Some spend no time. In the House this time, there were two vice chairs, one from the majority party, one from the minority party. And in some cases, the three of them did work together. In the Judiciary Committee on the House, both committee subcommittee chairmen were members of the minority party, the chairman. So there is a series of models, and it's how people want to deal with each other. And I think it's an important statement to say the Jane Cease model is the one we recommend everybody think hard about.
Mm-hmm.
May I speak to this as well?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I had the pleasure of serving with Senator Beyer as his vice chair of the Business, Labor, and Economic Development Committee. Senator Beyer and I met weekly to lay out agendas for our committee. We also took on a very controversial, contentious issue, farm labor practices. We worked very well together, but it came out of our agreement at the very beginning to set a collaborative tone. So it is possible to work in this manner, as the good Commissioner Thies has stated.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the phone that would like to make a comment to the motion?
No, I think I'm okay.
Could you
repeat the motion?
I say resignedly.
The motion is to pass the whole thing.
The whole thing at once.
With the addition.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with
that. Well, I do. Once again, in my not so humble opinion, except for the application of the golden rule, the item number two, in my opinion, is symbolic, as is item number three. But I think most chairs, in the application of the golden rule, would include their vice chairs in the preparation of the agenda and so forth. Mm-hmm. Item number four. Doesn't go far enough, in my opinion, because if it were me dictating how this should go, I would say the minority party ought to be able to appoint their own committee members completely and just submit the list to the majority, and they would have to take it for what it is. I recognize that probably none of the presiding officers would agree with that, nor the majority leaders, nor even most of the chiefs of staff. Nevertheless, I don't believe that. I think it would be a great exercise for the minority to have to go through that part of organizing the legislature. The next item. The rules exist for the... This was almost offensive to me. That the rules exist for the purpose of assuring efficient functioning of the legislative process. As such, rules should not be manipulated by the majority party. I'm going to cite you one example, and then cite more, of manipulation by the minority, which got a lot of publicity here a couple of years ago. When the minority party does not provide a quorum on the floor and kills the business of the day or the week. That goes on. It has gone on. It ain't right. In my opinion. So if you want to really change the rules, make the quorum 31 instead of 40. I doubt that that will happen. But I take offense that all of the barrages are launched at the majority party. It's not the way it is. Now, next
one.
I'm not offended.
We're not after you in particular, Gary.
Under culture recommendation.
It was by a senator.
Under culture recommendation.
These are only recommendations.
Under culture recommendation. The first one is good. The second one is good. The third one's okay. The fourth one, once again, it says, allow the minority party with demonstrable evidence of a majority of members of the chamber in support to require a bill to move to the floor for debate and vote. I personally have been involved in times when it wasn't the minority party that was being thwarted, it was a minority of the members. So I would say, or it could even have been a majority of the members, without regard to party. Matter of fact, people from both parties were getting their will thwarted. So it's just offensive to me that it's identified as the minority party. It ought to be, the minority ought to be heard. Now, that doesn't always mean minority party. But I recognize these days of partisanship, people may not remember the other definition of minority. Thank you very much.
Are you suggesting we take out the word party?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm suggesting that if the motion stands the way it is, I'll be immobile.
All right.
So, yes. Chair, I would, in terms of discussion for the motion on the floor, it seems like we have lots of ideas coming out about these different ones that would recommend we actually take them on one at a time. We could actually approve them.
Mr. Barrows.
I'm concerned about the same, the fourth cultural recommendation in somewhat the same way that the co-chair Wilhelms is. There is a procedure now, as everybody knows, where a motion can be made to have a bill discharged from a committee over the objection of the committee. They have sent the bill to the floor. The floor can ask for the bill, and in fact, they can demand it with 31 votes. My concern is always if a bill, if the floor, 31 in the House, if the floor demands that the bill be sent to the floor, maybe the bill hasn't been worked yet. Maybe there's been no amendments, there's been no discussion in committee. And last time when some of the bills that were moved by the minority party in the House to come to the floor, those bills had never been really, I mean, they were stymied in the majority, by the majority party in the committee, which is their right to do, but they hadn't been worked. And because you can't amend a bill on the floor except by unanimous consent, it always worries me when the discharge petition always worries me in the Oregon system, because you can't fix whatever flaws may occur and may sit in a bill if you just bring it to the floor and say yes or no, because that's really all the floor can do is yes or no or back to committee. And so I have real problems with the fourth bullet, and I'm very supportive of the rest of it. And I commend Senator Morris for I know the immense amount of work he's done on this, but I'm going to have difficulty voting for the package with that in there because of my concern about the shape of the bills when they come on a discharge.
Sounds like we shouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Commissioner Seeley.
First question I'd have, is there a motion on the table? And yes. I apologize. Yes. And it's to vote on everything up and down now?
Yes.
I think there's been enough discussion that I guess I would like us to vote on them individually, as Commissioner Merton has said, and I will hold my remarks about some of the things content until we get to that question.
Just vote no on
right.
this one.
We'll ask him if we withdraw. Mr. Merrill.
He knows he can do that.
Did you have a comment?
I'm getting all the signs. Withdraw the motion. I refuse to do that. I move to divide the question, and we'll take each item individually.
Uh-huh. Can you just take that?
So everything's an aye vote. Everything's a motion to pass. Just call for aye.
All right, good. Thank you. All right, the first one.
Do we have to vote on this?
Right, yes.
I mean, if you withdraw it, we don't have to vote now.
Under Masons, you can't withdraw. I just wanted to point out that Masons, we agreed that Masons was going to. I move to divide the question and consider each item individually, and all you got to do is call for the yes. No, you don't need a
voice vote. Okay, voice vote. Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
All same side. All right. Thank you. The first one we will consider is pro tem officers. Should be for a minority party.
You got to get in line. You got to get in line. You got a problem with me. Everybody's got a problem.
What is your wish with respect to this one?
Without objection, ordered. Can you do
that? I move we accept this one.
All right. There's a motion to include this one in the report. Is there any discussion of the motion? Commissioner Carmel.
Just one really quick one. I want to call attention that it says a minority party, because in most of the report and most of our discussions, the reference has been to the minority party, and as per usual, a great number of other parties and unaffiliated voters and potentially candidates get disenfranchised. So I think it's really important that this say a minority party.
Any more discussion to the motion? Commissioner Lindy.
Just one other small editorial question here. We have recommended, this commission has recommended, that each House be able to choose how it wants to be elected. So we might end up with a nonpartisan Senate, for example. And then how would this work?
Wouldn't apply.
they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd have to form a minority party in order to name them both.
Any more discussion to the motion?
I just have a process question. When we pass on these, is what's going in the final report? The bold text or the bold and the backup text?
The bold. Well, I said the bold goes in the final recommendation. The unbold is not a recommendation. It's reasoning or it's editorial.
Okay, so we're just voting on the bold type here, and then it'll be fleshed out in the final report, however the drafters decide to do it.
Yes. And the motion is to include this one. Any more discussion to the motion? Commissioner Hill.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. If we have a, I guess I'd like to bring the people back into this discussion. Before I was elected to the House in 82, that there was a situation where in the Senate, I think that there were five Republicans. Is that, would anybody remember? Well, let me just six. Okay, let me give you my hypothetical. If the people of this state vote in the very vast majority of one party or another, Republicans or Democrats, and say it is three senators, are we talking about sharing the power? I mean, what are those three people going to do? I mean, how many co-chairs are there going to be? How many pro tem are there going to be? I guess I'm coming back to the co-chair Wilhelm's view here. I'm not sure. Maybe this the structure that the co-chair was talking about. I guess I'm a little concerned about it. If the people of this state vote in most of one party, and especially if they vote in by a vast majority, I have to ask, why does that little bit of, how much power should five people have? How much power should six people have? And I just pose that because it's got to mean something that the people have voted by a vast majority of one party over the other. And I guess this concern about the minority, the more I listen to Co-Chair Wilhelm's, I guess I'm starting to wonder, you know, is the tail supposed to wag the dog, or how much power should a very small minority have?
Mr. Carmel.
Well, I am not directly concerned about a party, a minority party that only has five people. They still need, I believe, the right to be heard. I am, however, going to pose a different hypothetical. Suppose that 25% of both houses were independent and not party members. Is there any way we can craft these two recommendations on the first page to say other than the majority party, i.e., could be a minority party, could be a very minor minority party, or could be independents. So could we rephrase to say should not be from the majority party in both cases?
Commissioner Hussey, I'm hearing.
I think we're worrying ourselves to death here about the
about
problems that really are not going to be problems.
Right.
If it's true that the Senate is 27-3, nobody's going to worry about that the minority is not getting its voice heard. On the other hand, the presiding officer might want to be nice and just those poor three people going to try to do something nice for them. We don't have to worry about what actually happens. We're talking about here a situation where the politics in Oregon has been closely divided and one side has been shut out. And that's what we're trying to solve.
Any more discussion to the motion? Commissioner Lindy.
Just to remind Commissioner Herring that was, in fact, the situation in 1953. There were only three. in the minority in 2007.
2006.
And nobody paid any attention this week, unless they made a lot of noise on their own, but there's nobody in there.
They weren't even nice to him?
They weren't even nice to him. Not polite, not even polite.
They have a caucus in the telephone booth. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was the 75.
Is there any comments from anyone on the phone to the motion?
Nope.
All right, thank you. Is there any more discussion to the motion? All right, roll call vote, please.
Can we restate the motion, please?
The motion is to include pro tem officers should be for a minority party in the report.
A minority party.
Yes, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
No.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
No.
Commissioner Frohnmeyer?
No.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
No.
Commissioner Carmel?
Aye.
Commissioner Lane?
No.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
No.
Commissioner Merton?
Yes.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
No.
Commissioner Timchuk?
No.
Commissioner Wilson?
No.
Commissioner Barrows.
Spain. What?
Take up the vice chair should be for minority parties, whether or not it should be included in the report. Is there a discussion to the motion? Or is there a motion?
Yeah.
That's right. We have a motion. That's it, one by one. All right. Is there a discussion to the motion?
What's the motion? Go ahead, Chairman.
Question. Ready for the vote.
Question.
All right. Roll call vote, please, whether this should be included in the report.
Commissioner Barrows?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
No.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
No.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Frohnmeyer?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lane?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Aye.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timchuk?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Pryor?
Aye.
Co-Chair Wilno?
No.
Twenty-one to three. This will be included in the report. All right. Number four of the recommendations for systems, minority leaders should be asked for and should submit recommendations for committee assignments for his or her members.
Madam Chair, just to remind the commission that we've already recommended this.
Number five.
But I think your process committee chair probably wants to comment on that.
Yes, Commissioner Lang.
Thank you. Actually, what the commission approved was the word require.
so that it, co-chair Wilhelm's point, the recommendation from the process committee that the commission approved is that minority leaders.
Majority is required to ask.
Minority. Well, admit? No, that the minority will select.
The rules would require that the minority gets appointed its own members.
Yes, that minority leaders would be required to select committee members from their party.
And we voted on that last time.
Yes, that's already been approved.
Does that make, then that makes this slightly in conflict with that previous recommendation.
Yes. I like this better.
Right. Too late now.
The request is for us to take each one of these. Yes.
Based on the information we have, then I move that we table this item. If we've already made a
second
previous recommendation, I move that we table this.
Place now, vote. Consensus, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
No.
One, sorry. Those opposed.
I'm you minority.
Yeah, I just wanted to be on record.
Yes, thank you. Commissioner Barrows.
Could I ask a question? And I'll address it to Commissioner Seeley. Majority, minority, and then two non-affiliated. How do Senators Gordley and Westland fit into language that says majority and minority? Are they automatically part of the minority because there's just two of them, or how does that work? It's something to think about. I don't want to slow us down, but yeah. I'm bothered by that. I don't quite know how that fits together.
Just a brief response, and then if we want to have an additional discussion after we get through voting. I think just from my initial take is whether you're talking about an informal process or something that's been defined in rule or statute. And for instance, if you're wanting to, people organize their caucuses, and it's an easy way to disseminate information. So if you want to brief folks, if there's something going on, let's say the retiming of the legislature, and you want to make sure you're getting information out, you know, we would certainly want to get to everyone, and if getting to a caucus is a easy way to do that, then that's a good way to facilitate that. It is different if you have a statute or a bill that recognizes sometimes the Republican leader and the Democratic leader, sometimes minority, and we'd have to get instruction. But that's the short take. But I think it varies by instance. But I think ideally, you're from a presiding officer's perspective, you're trying to communicate with all 30 folks.
Thank you.
Many discussions are taking place around how this will work. Please know that. And they're very healthy discussions with leadership as we know it and with an eye toward how to make this work for all of our constituents. I appreciate that Commissioner Barrow raised the question.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. That's reassuring.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Gary.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Dave Frommer. I need to sign off now, so I will not be able to continue further, but thank you all for your patience on them, who are there in person. And may I ask Marjorie, I have an item that I thought would be included in the report. Could you call me tomorrow so I can pass it on to you?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner, for your
time.
Bye,
Dave.
Go Ducks.
Hey, thanks.
Go Ducks.
Big game coming up, you bet.
Indeed. 7:30 Saturday night today. Front of your HD.
All right. I believe the next one, rules exist for the purpose of assuring efficient functioning of legislative process. I believe Commissioner Morris indicated this was more of a statement. Is that correct, Commissioner?
If I might extend the bold down one more sentence. And amend it to read, as such, rules should not be manipulated for the purpose of foreclosing access to significant policy issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Delete reference to minority majority.
Good.
Yes, Commissioner Bernstein.
I guess I'm not sure what that's aimed at. I mean, the motion at the table is a...
Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code. Your conference is already in progress. You are joining your conference as the host. Should you need assistance during the conference, press pound, then zero. Press 1 to place this line in listen-only mode. Press 2 to hear the number of participants on the conference, including you. Press 3 to... There are 2 participants on the call. Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code. You are the first to join your conference. You are joining your conference as the host. Should you need assistance during the conference, press pound, then zero.
Of a confidential discussion about their personal practices.
Yeah. All right, let's carry on. I think there was a question from Commissioner Bernstein.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure what rules this is intended to cover. I mean, any body of rules has rules that allow you to maneuver, and I guess I'm not sure what we're trying to accomplish here. Because I think rules can work for the majority or for the minority. I mean, it's just...
Commissioner Morris, do you want to respond? Chewing.
Well, there have been instances in the past where the rules have been modified to foreclose debate.
Is that good or is that bad? Depends on whose side you're on.
Commissioner Kermel.
I like this idea a lot, but there is not no should, must, will, require word there. So I don't know what the recommendation is. Let me suggest for your possible substitution a motion that says recommend that the rules committees test rules against the principles of shared access and shared information for all legislators. I mean, the question being, what is it we're telling them in this paragraph to do?
Good question. I think, if I may, the statement, I believe, is fairly clear. Rules should not be manipulated.
So that's the kind of talk nice culture recommending. I'm just looking at if there's a way to firm up what we're proposing.
It probably falls in the nature of everything we're doing here, is the should and recommend.
Co-Chair Wilhelms.
Well, I don't think this is a golden rule statement. I think this is the real McCoy. We have black and white rules. No, there's copies of them flying around in both the House and the Senate. And they are adopted by a majority of the members early in the session, and they are the rules of procedure. And they're fairly clear. Now, you can manipulate them sometimes. For example, time delays, things like that, that might advantage one side or the other. And I believe that the statement that the Senate, I'm not going to put words in the Senator's mouth, but I believe what he's saying is we should not take whatever steps that we might be able to come up with that would be manipulation of the rules. We should not do that. We shall not do that. You know, because that has caused problems in the last session and in other recent sessions. Now, can you make a recommendation that says shall not? Sure. The point is the legislature's got to adopt all these recommendations and the rules anyway, so the statement should not, shall not, I don't know if it makes any difference. But I really believe this is the real McCoy, because changing the rules of procedure is what's going to accommodate most of the recommendations that this commission is making.
Commissioner Duncan?
Sorry. I was thinking if we followed on to Coach Wilhelm's thought, this stays in the right place, but it felt more in the permissive, as we're using the word should, that it really moves down into your cultural recommendations. Because what we're asking for there is honorable, good behavior, more collaboration, playing it straight. And there, under culture, these recommendations are trying to tell the legislature that we want more collaboration and more openness. And that's where I would move this. I would recommend we move it should we maintain the more permissive language. If we move to shall, it's in a fine place.
Thank you. Commissioner Seeley.
I think it might be helpful for folks if someone, whether it be Commissioner Morris or Commissioner Wellens, or someone maybe offer an example, maybe not even have to name the chamber, but because I do think Commissioner Wellens is right on. This is more than being nice and smiling at each other and in civil floor debate. It is, I think, about certain, my sense is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Senator, that this is more about specific tools of the toolbox of the minority, depending on how the rules are written, and whether or not sometimes those tools get taken away partway through the session. And if that's the case, I can give you something more specific, maybe to tighten that up, if that's what you're trying to get
at. That, in essence, is what it is. And I would suggest that for consideration, that delete the judgment statement in bold. And the bold statement would be, rules should not be manipulated for the purpose of foreclosing access to significant policy issues. And it gets back to the issue of removing the tools that the minority party has that have been agreed to because of some major policy issue that mm-hmm. is just foreclosed by virtue of changing the rules.
That's a good change.
Commissioner Bernstein? Commissioner Merton?
I don't know if this contributes at this point. Rules shall not be manipulated for partisan purposes. It's another way of stating what Senator Moore said. I think what we're dealing with here is if we're manipulating what we've agreed to at the beginning of the session as how we'll operate with each other for partisan purposes, then that's where the legislative body exposes themselves to the criticism of being a partisan body.
Commissioner Lindy.
Yes, Madam Chairman, co-chairman makes the point that sometimes it's minority. I think the confusion is in the verb manipulate. I thought at the beginning it meant made use of in a way that obstructs or whatever it is. The existing rules now, from the discussion, I'm getting the impression that we are talking about making changes in the rules. I think that would be helpful if we were serious about this, that we use one word or the other. I don't think manipulate is clear enough, because it obviously confused me as to what we meant. Now, if you mean should not be designed or changed, that might be a better verb. So just a suggestion, if the sponsor wants to do that.
Any more discussion?
Minor point.
Coaching.
I still would feel a lot more comfortable with this if the word party was taken out. Minority party.
Yes,
I think
it was taken out.
Yes. Yes.
Well, if it's in there in two places, it was taken out in both places.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it was.
Are you happy now?
I am.
So, can we hear again what it is?
Yeah.
Could you read the motion back, please? Statement, not the motion. Could you read the statement back? Rules should not be manipulated.
Part of that second sentence, rules should not be manipulated by the majority party.
No.
Mr. Morris,
if I may,
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes. All right, Senator Morris, please.
If I may, to state the motion, rules should not be manipulated for the purpose of foreclosing access to significant policy issues.
Yes.
All right. Who do we have on the phone?
Abel's back.
Debbie's back, too. I got kicked off. We are, just an update, Highway 6 is closed completely from Tillamook into Hillsboro. Local access is only, there's multiple slides, trees down, water over the, we're locked in here. And Seaside's closed into Seaside except for big trucks. 53's closed.
So, Debbie, what's your highest wind so far?
And I don't know, but the storm's just starting now. And the river is flowing through my backyard. I can't even see the edge of the deck. So it's going to be nasty. We're going to get 10 inches of rain tonight.
Oh,
it's bad, yeah. So, and all the fire departments are locked up. We're doing Seaside, Elsie, and Nehalem. And they're just there. Highway 26 is closed a little bit east of here because of trees down.
Our emergency preparedness.
Yeah, I'm so prepared. I'm sitting here at home.
All right. I'm glad you're both back on. All right. We have a quorum of meeting to leave. Mr. Bronner, we do have a quorum.
I'd like to see this through, if possible.
All right. Let's take this. We now have the statement. We have a roll call vote on whether or not to include it in the report. Please call the roll.
What rules?
Chamber rules?
Rules of the
chamber.
Rules of the house.
Public rules of the house. I didn't mean to say that.
All right, for Commissioner Boone and Commissioner Gordley, Commissioner Morton, I'm going to ask you to read it one more time because they came on just as you were reading. What we're going to be voting on, ladies.
The rules, and I would amend it, of the chambers should not be changed, and I would accommodate Commissioner Lindy's desire for the purpose of foreclosing access to significant policy issues.
Would interpreted work rather than change? Or should not be interpreted to...
Is that clear, ladies?
No.
Yes.
That's not clear?
All right.
Yeah, that's clear.
Oh, okay.
To the motion, sir. Commissioner Garber.
The word manipulated, I don't know, we could wordsmith this forever, but I mean, one of the examples that was given was when a whole half of the chamber got up and left because they that way they wouldn't have a quorum. And they didn't change the rules. They just used the rules in a unprofessional way. So I think we're getting away from what we started from.
I'm happy with manipulated. Okay, leave it in.
All right, Commissioner, we're leaving in the word manipulated. Is that correct?
Or
all
changed.
Right.
You could do both.
What about you?
So my understanding of your motion is rules exist for the purpose of assuring efficient functioning of the legislative process. As such, rules of the chamber should not be manipulated for the purpose of foreclosing access to significant policy issues. Is that correct?
The first sentence.
You're taking out the first sentence altogether? All right.
Yes. Strike the first sentence. Yes, Commissioner Duncan.
Could we substitute the word used for manipulated? Rules shall not be used, because that's what we're really talking about. Just an application of the rules. And it's a word that doesn't have a pejorative sense, as manipulated does.
Is everybody satisfied with that rule change?
So
that
use word change? Or used
and could you repeat used? That? Was used instead of what? Manipulated?
Yes, change the word used. Manipulated. All right, we need to try to move along here. If there's no more discussion to the motion, roll call vote on the motion, please, to include this in the report.
Commissioner Barrows?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
No.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
Aye.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Gerber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Aye.
Commissioner Lang?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Aye.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timcha?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fryer?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilhelm?
Aye.
All right, it passes. It will be included in the report. Commissioner Bernstein.
Just a question. Did we vote on the previous?
It was tabled.
It was tabled.
Oh, table. Okay.
It was tabled because that is, part has been included in another meeting. All right, now we are at the culture recommendations. And we will take those one at a time. The first one is to develop a more collaborative environment for discussions by majority and minority leadership regarding legislative priorities. Whether or not to include that in the recommendations of the report. Is there discussion to the motion? Roll call. Commissioner Morris.
Did you ask for a motion?
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barrow?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner? Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Frommeyer?
Scott.
Commissioner Gerber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lang?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Yes.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timcha?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Fryer?
Aye.
Co-Chair Wilhelm?
Aye.
It passed, and it will be in the report, included in the report. The next one is the presiding officer should, in practice, represent the body as a whole and not use authority to prevent debate. Is there a discussion to the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barrows?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner? Oh, Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lang?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Yes.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timcha?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Fryer?
Aye.
Co-Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Bronner, aye.
Assets will be included in the report. Next, establish collaborative process that includes a minority in session management. Schedules, hearings, notice policies at session and etc. At session end, etc. Is there discussion to the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Barrows?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Bronner?
Aye.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lang?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Yes.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Seth, Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timcha?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
No.
Co-Chair Fryer?
Aye.
Co-Chair Wilhelm?
Aye.
It passes. It will be included in the report. Allow the minority party with demonstrable evidence of a majority of members of the chamber in support to require a bill to move to the floor for debate and vote. Is there any discussion to the motion?
Co-Chair Wilhelm, I'd like to hear his suggestions for improving this.
Delete party.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Madam Co-Chair?
Yes.
I was thinking the last vote we cast was the one we're just moving to now, so if you can change my vote, that's great. If not, that's fine, too. But
no, we can do that.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair?
Yes.
If I may make a stab at improving this, to read, allow policy issues with demonstrable evidence of a majority of members of the chamber in support to move to the floor for debate and vote. So it takes it out of the majority-minority conflict, and it focuses on policy and allowing that policy to be heard.
Read it again, William. I'm seeing consensus, co-chair.
Just for the record, I mean, I think that makes it a lot better, and I'll vote yes on it. But for the record, I believe it's contained in the House and Senate rules today. If that situation exists, that without manipulation, the measure, which we've already dealt with, the measure will come to the floor because a majority vote can bring it to the floor.
Commissioner Seeley. I say this as just a process perspective and as a body who's passed more than one minority report, and it's, you know, not something that, you know, we lived the next day. It wasn't the end of the world. But just as a process note, a minority report isn't the best way to make public policy in that there is usually no public input. There's no hearing. There's no kink. There's no process to work it out. And ideally, you don't want that to hit the governor's desk. You could get a bill to the governor's desk without any hearing, public input, stakeholders, that kind of thing.
Get the other house.
Is that new? Two houses.
Thing and how it came out of committee. So maybe just amending this to require the bill to move to the floor in debate, since this is kind of a general recommendation anyway, some sort of public process to it, a hearing, something.
All right.
If there's demonstrable.
Commissioner Leeson.
My other concern is that the chambers don't vote on policy issues. They vote on bills. So we need to get that wording back in. Don't we, Senator Morris?
Substantive bills.
Yeah, but those are...
That's the point,
that
yeah.
changes now. That's
one yes. Commissioner Lindy.
That's an interesting point, because I raised my hand for the same issue. I took policy issues to mean not that it has to be in the shape to be enacted, which has the difficulty that Commissioner Seeley mentions, but that it might be returned to committee for another go-round, which is what you usually do when you need to amend something. Now, if you turn it to a bill, into a bill, then you really have to have a floor vote on a bill, regardless whether it's been through the process. So I would think that your original language might be softer and better. Just as the policy issue can't be foreclosed, but doesn't say that you have to vote on it, because you can't vote on a policy issue. I think Commissioner Leeson is right about that. You never vote on a policy issue, but you may vote on a proposal to send it back and do something different. So I think you ought to watch the language a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Garber.
The other piece to this that was raised earlier was the ability to make amendments on the floor, and I frankly don't remember. Did that already get rejected or passed by this commission, the ability to make amendments on the floor? Or was that considered, or did you consider that as part of this?
That was a part of an original thought, but I purposely withdrew that, Commissioner. If I might just comment briefly, that was part of how do you give the minority a voice in a more meaningful way. But those of us that attended the session of the Washington legislature when they were in session, I think we all came away with an appreciation for our system, actually, over theirs, that does allow amendments on the floor. And it was a little bit helter-skelter. Ours is a little more thoughtful.
Democracy is messy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is messy. So I did intentionally withdraw that, Commissioner.
Okay. Commissioner Carmel.
In the choosing between the language bill or policy issues, I favor the softer, broader language of policy issues. I want to remind the Commission that one of the charges levied when we were having discussions of initiatives and referendum, one of the charges that was leveled against this legislature and other previous legislatures is failure to deal with policy issues such as land use, corrections, etc. And if we want our, if the audience is broader than just the legislature, which I believe it is, then I think we need to use language that assures the public that this commission is paying attention to the legislature's failure to get policy issues on the table, on the floor. So therefore, that's why I favor the broader.
Any more discussion to the language?
Madam Chair,
yes.
I'm sorry, but where, what is the language now?
Yeah.
Well, it was policy issue. It had been changed, but issues. But I'm not sure where we are right now. That's
instead
what,
of a bill?
Yes.
In light of the discussion,
that's
Madam Chair, if I might recommend that we go back to the... Because the policy issues does not refer to bills, and I think intentionally so, that opens up so that the policy really does have a way of migrating to the floor. So the language would read, allow policy issues with demonstrable evidence of a majority of members of the chamber in support to move to the floor for debate and vote.
All right, everyone understands the language. Is there any more discussion to the motion?
At the risk of prolonging this, that really is too vague. I think the objection was correct. There, policy issues as such never move to the floor for a vote. What we're asking here is that we're asking the legislature not to let partisan considerations prevent the consideration of policy of major matters. We want them to do the things that we ask them to do instead of relying on initiatives and all that. That's what we're asking, I think. But, no?
I don't know. I'm totally confused about what I'm voting on here.
Well, we're trying to amend or trying to edit the thing we're voting on. But as it stands now, I think it just doesn't make sense, I'm sorry to say. I mean, we just can't require floor votes on policy issues. Even recommending it makes no sense.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Bills be a acceptable compromise?
Yes.
The use of and that's what you're talking about. I suppose you could say measures. If you don't like bills.
I would use the term measures.
Because you do have resolutions which are constitutional amendments.
Yeah.
That come that way, don't come through bills.
Specifically, I think what we're talking about, is that one house passes with a majority. Passes a bill that has majority support in the other house, but the leader of the house won't let it come up for a vote for reasons of whatever reasons. That's, I think, what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Measures.
Measures. Has everyone more or less settled on measures? All right, let's try measures.
Can you read it again?
Yeah, read it.
Do you want to try that? Marjorie.
Sure. Allow measures with demonstrable evidence of a majority of members of the chamber in support to move to the floor for debate and vote.
All right. Mm-hmm. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barros?
Aye.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Herring?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lang?
Aye.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
No.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seeley?
Aye.
Commissioner Timcha?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Pryor?
Aye.
Chair
Wilhelm. Aye.
All right. Passes and will be included in the report. Now, the original motion included that we should also include in the report the summary, and then there was an addition to that summary, and I hope someone has it. Do you, Michelle Latimer?
Commissioner Bronner left it in my care.
Loving care.
Would you like me to read it?
Please. Those and other suggestions. Something.
Those and other suggestions, or these and other suggestions, should be considered by majority and minority leadership.
Is there any discussion to the motion to include the summary with that addition? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Barrows?
Yes.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Aye.
Commissioner Boone?
Aye.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lang? Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Yes.
Commissioner Merton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morse?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Seaman?
Aye.
Commissioner Timcheck?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
Aye.
Pro Chair Pryor?
Yes.
Pro Chair Wilhelm?
No.
Commissioner Morris, we want to thank you for bringing us a structure that we could get through this discussion on partisanship today in a reasonable fashion, but spirited debate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if I may just make one comment, and I do really appreciate having the opportunity to have this discussion. I would not want to leave a misimpression in anyone's mind with respect to the degree of collegiality that does, in fact, exist within the body. I have just been so impressed with my colleagues and the ability to rise in many occasions above the partisan issues to find that common ground. What we're talking about is how do we accelerate that a little bit more? How do we nudge us into a little more collaborative, bipartisan, tripartisan, with respect to our newest independent members, to find that common ground for the good of Oregon? And that's why we're having this discussion. Thank you.
All right, thanks to all of you for a very interesting afternoon. I know we're not done, but we're going to get there.
We're getting there.
All right, the next thing on our agenda is a discussion and possible recommendations about the next steps for the commission work.
May I remind the commission we're only 3 minutes off schedule?
Wow.
Woo-hoo!
Wow.
Principle.
Okay. Madam Chair and Commission members, somewhere in your packet, we have a one-page document that says PCOL Next Steps, divided into short-term, long-term, and PCOL Outreach. First is the short-term. As you know, we have a meeting coming up on Monday. At that meeting, we, if all goes as planned, will approve the final report and introduction of any legislation that comes to us from Legislative Council. You've already received a draft of the executive summary, some background, and the recommendations from the report. We would appreciate any sort of edits from you by this Thursday afternoon. I will incorporate the changes into a draft final report, which will be available to you on Monday the 13th. I'll try to send it to you over the weekend. Some of you might be able to read it, some of you might not. So that's the report piece. After you approve it on the 13th, we'll make any final revisions, and a final copy will be available after the 13th, and it will be sent to you by mail.
I'm sorry. Yes, Commissioner Lee.
Yes, Madam Chair, did you ask a minute ago if we had any ideas for next steps? Was that what you were asking?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Well, I was going to ask one suggestion anyway on my own agenda. Has anybody considered whether we should recommend that the legislature do this by a single committee rather than splitting this up among a whole lot of...
We're getting to that, actually.
That's what I'm asking you.
We're getting to that on the CC.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, so report taken care of.
Question?
Bill introduction.
Question?
Yes, Commissioner.
I'd like to make a couple of comments about the draft report, which I think is an extraordinarily workmanlike, complete, thoughtful, and amazing job putting things together. But I have a couple of comments about that report that I'd like to vet with the commission today so that when we get the next product a week from today, there will be a sense of what the commission wants. I find the report to be the executive summary and introduction of the report to be very intellectual and very clear and very thoughtful, but has no, for lack of a better word, sizzle. It has no attraction. It would be read, in my judgment, only by those who already have a strong vested interest in reading it, and therefore a narrow audience. So I'd like to request that the commission consider and help Marjorie understand whether making the language of the executive summary and the content of the executive summary more like the top half of a newspaper, above the fold newspaper page, because it is, with respect, accurate and wonderful, but boring as heck. And I really want to reach out to a wider audience. Now, some of my best friends were party to writing this, including Sue and Marjorie and Jenny. So I want to be clear that I don't, and Carrie, I do not envy for 1 minute, the task that they have completed, and I applaud their work. But if you'd like, I can give you some example of the kind of language that has more urgency to it, whether or not more muscular. So that's kind of point one, and if you'd like, I can juxtapose. In fact, I will. As written, the executive summary concludes that many policies and practices prevent the legislature from operating at full effectiveness. Prevent from operating at full effectiveness. What about language like the of an introductory nature? The Oregon legislature isn't just held in low repute by the vast majority of Oregonians. It is increasingly seen as irrelevant. Citizen participation in electing legislators is equally anemic. While Oregon boasts one of the nation's highest voter participation rates, when almost 30% of the citizens are not even registered and 80% of the voter participation rate translates into 56% of citizens, this isn't a disconnect between the governed and the Oregon central governing institution. It's a yawning chasm. It poses a clear and present danger to Oregon's civic health if left unaddressed, The thrust of these remarks is that something's broken here. I think that's why this commission exists. And I think we have to call out in the language of the report some very emphatic statements. You may not want to be as emphatic as what I just read, but we have not, in the summary, in the background, and in the sort of opening statement, we have not even remotely justified a reason that this commission exists, other than it got appointed. So I want to, without being totally inflammatory, I really want to ask for the commission to weigh in on this question. Secondly, and related, the executive commission, the executive summary, gives the same number of words and sentences to don't get drunk on the job as to annual sessions. I don't think, therefore, the executive summary provides any sense of urgency, importance, or priority, and I would like to ask that some of the less important, even though they may be very important to some people, I would like to suggest the executive summary be used for endorsing the five or so most important recommendations, with a notation that there are other recommendations at the commission as well. So this is really more about how do you position the report than the substance of what's in it, but I make that case to the commission because I think making it a week from today would be even less useful than making it today.
Great. Commissioner, thank you very much for your comments, and I'm sure they'll be taken to heart
By the team,
to make it more robust.
Well, to Madam Chair.
Yes.
To give the maker of the suggestion a little more comfort, can we get some sort of a commitment that the drafters will, in fact, take Commissioner Carmel's suggestions into consideration when they redraft that section of the final report?
As head of the team, I think it would be helpful if you have specific recommendations for where language needs to be changed. We'd like to see that in writing, either electronically or on paper. I don't care how we get it, but I need that by Thursday. Right. Commissioner Duncan.
Perhaps to build on making the case for why this commission exists and consequently why we're offering the suggestions we are, Phil Kiesling and Norma Paulus have made available to us a poll that they did prior to the launching their open primary effort, which presents information about people's attitudes toward governance. And I think that that might also be something we want to take a look at and just show where does the public sit in terms of its respect for and support of and opinions about our government that would help to give us a platform against which we're making some of these suggestions.
What was the time? What was the timing?
This was done in 05, spring of 05. And so I think it's probably fairly relevant. Who knows what tomorrow will tell us, of course, but I think it's worth looking at.
Do you have it?
I just, Madam Chair, I respectfully disagree a little bit. I mean, the commission exists because the legislature created the commission, and in the legislation they state the reasons for the commission, and I'm just a little, I don't want to reach out into the ether and pick out reasons that this commission exists when the legislature stated why we exist, specifically, so...
Commissioner Seeley. Couple things. Completely agree with Commissioner Timchuk. As the person whose office actually dug up the paperwork for the other one and said, hey, isn't this a great idea and shouldn't we do it again? I think there's specific reasons, and I think, and God, I could be wrong on this, most of you all received a letter stating some of the reasons that this commission was going to exist. So maybe to harken back on that. But and frankly, possibly look at some of the floor statements, look at the legislative intent, if you will, if you want to go to some of that record. On the issue of picking out five things to highlight, I'm fine with that, but I certainly hope that's not being done by five people. I would hope that's going to be done by the commission as a whole. And I would just, I absolutely agree that we should have strong language. I would just hope that it's not offensive. Considering that I believe you're going to set our co-chairs loose in a month to go lobby these things,
We don't want to give him an excuse to reject it.
Yeah, good.
Oh, my goodness.
I think everybody needs to be mindful of the fact that that Marjorie needs this. If you want to make comments this week. Yes, Commissioner Hill.
Thank you. What is going to be the strategy to take this?
Okay, that's a good question. I'd like to allow Margie to continue with what she was doing here under bill introduction. She'll talk about the emergency board, long term, and then the outreach.
Okay. So under bill introduction, we've requested a number of bill drafts from the Legislative Council. They're working really hard to get everything to us either this Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. If, perchance, we don't get everything that I've requested from Council, I do have the authority and ability to introduce bills in concept that are, at least they're being worked on, but we don't have them on paper in front of us. I will make PDF copies available to you either on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, depending on when the bulk of the bills are available from Council. Another question has come up whether you want to recommend as a commission that we request another bill draft asking for a cleanup or a revision or at least a deep review of the statutes related to the legislative branch.
Sorry to interrupt, Marjorie, sure. But PDF caught my attention.
Yes.
Can't edit, modify, redline PDF files.
Right. You won't be able to do that because these are actual bill drafts that
right.
will be approved by the commission, introduced to the legislature, and bill numbers will be assigned. If you, as a citizen of the state, want to request an amendment, then you'll have to work through committee staff, committee chair, legislators to request amendments to the bill. So what we get is what will be printed as a bill.
So this commission has no authority, in your view, to make any changes in the way council drafts?
Not at this particular juncture, no. I think that as they move towards the Legislative Assembly are assigned to a committee or committees, then you can get involved in the legislative process as they're considering our recommendations and work with them on any sort of amendments that come through.
Just to follow up, because this is really important to me, so these are not commission bills?
They will be drafted with the commission name on them. That's correct.
And it seems to me members of this commission need to have the opportunity to make recommendations or adopt changes before we put our name on them.
I agree.
Am I missing something?
Oh, God.
My understanding is that Legislative Council is drafting a whole slew of bills, and they are not in the amendment phase at this point. So what we're given is essentially what will be introduced to the Legislative Assembly. And then we'll go through the legislative process and make amendments to those bills if you so choose. I've done my best to convey to Legislative Council what the intent of this commission was in terms of the request for legislation. They're doing their best to interpret what my request was and what the discussion was in commission. And as you know, we've made some very general recommendations. So we're doing what we can to get at least a vehicle for discussion so that the legislature can continue these discussions come January.
Mr. Carmel.
Is there any opportunity, Marjorie, for a small subset, say committee chairs of this commission, to talk with Legislative Council when it's still in draft form, because the Legislative Council has not, I suspect, monitored every word of our sentiment? And it seems to me that some see if there are any serious distortions of what the commission intended that happened to fall in the drafting process.
You can certainly provide those copies to the chairs, but again, Legislative Council, they're in the editing phase right now, I'm sure, with all of our requests. And I'm just thinking of the time. Yeah. And the fact that you have a holiday coming up on Friday, I mean, they're already coming down weekends as it is. I think that really it comes to the amendment phase. And I've been in conversation with Legislative Council, with the bill drafts in particular. Again, I think these are vehicles for further discussion, and we don't know what the Legislative Assembly is going to do with them.
Mr. Seeley.
So I want to make sure I'm clear, Marjorie, on what you're saying in bill introduction world, which is starting to become a big issue. I mean, I believe, and Ramona left, I think pre-session filing starts Wednesday or Thursday for members, if I'm correct. So council will shift in its priorities very quickly. And it's trying to get all agencies' bills out right now. So you're saying that, let me make sure I've got timeline in my head here correctly. Mm-hmm. You are going to send us the, your hope is to have the drafts from council when? When's that date?
I have some, but I'm waiting for
the full
bulk
package
of them,
okay,
by Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Okay, and then we will get them by Monday. That's the goal.
You'll get them either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday by email, or if you don't want to open your email and look at them that way, then you can look at them on Monday.
Okay.
So essentially we're asking you
because
to
what
approve
we're,
them.
Because what we're voting on Monday is essentially bill introduction?
That's correct.
Okay, that's the crux that you've got to explain. I'm talking process here. That you've got to explain to me that you're talking. When we take a vote, you're actually voting on that version of that bill.
Mm-hmm. No opportunity for
yes.
any changes.
So the question that you're trying to navigate the situation, what you're talking about is having an additional meeting, and what Marjorie is saying is a time question. Because once we take the vote, you voted on the draft, and the draft has to be submitted to the clerk or the secretary in that form.
And I'm also looking at Legislative Council and the time
yes.
that they've
and the
put
timing
into drafting,
okay.
the
it.
Questions that we've responded to, and also all of the other work on top of Legislative Council, not just us, but everybody else.
Richard Schutte.
Could we take the opportunity on Monday to vote yes, but add commentary? I mean, and we will have much opportunity afterwards then
yes.
to work with, turn that commentary into amendments.
Because then the co-chairs and other legislative yeah. officials will make a decision as to where these bills will be introduced. One of the questions that has come up is whether the whole package of bills will be introduced in one chamber, House or Senate, whether they'll be divided in pieces and introduced either in the House or the Senate, you know, bits and pieces, or that they be introduced in House or Senate or both and sent to a joint committee. So that's something that legislative leaders will have to decide. But I think we'll also have to, after approval from the committee, introduce them either in the House or Senate or do as we're directed. But that's not a part of our recommendation. What you'll be approving on Monday is introduction of the bill.
Okay, one of the things that we're beginning to grasp here and begin to get our teeth into is how we go from what we've been doing here at this commission to the legislative process to move the recommendations forward. And we are getting into their process. That's where we are. We are getting into the process, which is starting. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have some input, but you're going to have the input in the normal process of the legislative body.
My opinion is that we shouldn't be trying to have a legislative session next Monday when we're putting these bills together. They're vehicles that are going into the process. There's going to be 8 months of deliberation over these things. And then ultimately, some of them won't last.
Six.
November and December included.
Okay.
But anyway, and then we have a full opportunity to participate in the process as these things go forward to make any changes that we may want to make.
I just need a clarification again. When you say we, does that mean we as a commission will be coming back together to discuss amendments, or are we as individuals now basically set free to do as we please with respect to what happens to these bills and their amendments?
Yes, the reality is you could get a bill drafted. You could get a bill draft come out, legislative concept come out, and get it exactly the way you want it. And the first time it hits committee, it's changed. So you cannot prescribe what's going to happen here beyond legislative council in any event. We're trying to get it as close as we can going in. Commissioner Sneese.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's really important that these be presented as a package together in the same house and try. I know they may have to go in different places, but it seems to me if we're going to ever get anybody to get their arms around what we've tried to do here, we need to at least have it start out as a package together in the same house. Yeah. Or Senate, whichever.
Further down.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Bernstein.
I don't know. I guess I have some discomfort with the committee's name being on something that has so little opportunity for review, and I'm not sure which should govern the legislation that I don't get to review, or the report in terms of what did I intend.
Madam Chair, what you have here is a problem of timing and staff resources, and we're just going to have to put up with that. I think what we've got here are concepts that we've all discussed and we agree to. We may not agree to specific language in a particular bill, but there will be opportunity to change that. If we try to get into changing language now and bills have already been drafted, we'll never get anything introduced.
We could get done by February.
Well, it'd be helpful to talk about the
commission
joint
the day before session begins.
I think that would
Let's let Marjorie keep on going. You all have a copy of this. You can follow it along and see where it is we're going to try to go.
So Senate Bill 1084, which established the public commission, requires that the report and the report be presented to the emergency board. I know that some of our commission members have been working with the legislators to make sure that we're on the agenda for December 1st. And I'm not quite sure where we fall on that agenda, but that information, apparently we're first up. So that will be shared with you as soon as that information is public from legislative fiscal. As I said, these bills will be introduced. Those that are approved will be introduced to the legislature. after January 8th, they'll be assigned to committees. And if you'd like to follow that legislation through the process, I would suggest that you contact the committee staff. I'm not sure who that's going to be, but contact the committee staff after January 8th and let them know that you're interested in following it, and they'll put you on some sort of contact list and let you know what's going on. Most of our bills will have subsequent referrals to Ways and Means, so after they go through a substantive committee, they'll have to go through the budgeting process to make sure that you have appropriate funds attached. With our long-term plan,
the third bullet, mergers.
Obviously, the people that set the agenda for the e-board are the speaker and the president. So when I say we're first on the agenda, that's the request that we've made. I assume that's going to be approved by the speaker and the president, just to clarify.
Marjorie?
Yes.
Third bullet, I think you skipped, unless I wasn't listening.
Co-chair to leave the commission.
Okay. So the co-chairs, your co-chairs, are planning to make a recommendation that a joint committee be formed and that all of the package be sent to that joint committee. So everybody got that. So in long term, I think your co-chairs... Your co-chairs think that there should be a joint committee to continue this interim work and to monitor implementation of our recommendations and to work on future legislative improvements. So I believe they might be looking for a motion from the commission on that, and that you form that the legislature choose to form a new legislative improvement commission in not more than 10 years. Or to create an ongoing committee to continue review. Are you entertaining motions? Okay. So as I hear from our co-chair, they'd probably like to take some motions at the next meeting, although it would be nice to include in the report.
Okay. Yeah, but we do it right now. Okay. So,
all right. Under the law, I would move that we adopt the language under the long-term, the two bullet points under long-term on your outline, so that it doesn't, so that it's not just the co-chairs that are proposing that, it's the commission believes the joint committee should, you know, that there should be a joint committee and so forth, rather than the co-chair. But I think we are, we'll prove that today, as Marjorie points out, so that it can be included in the final report, because if we wait till next meeting, obviously it won't make it.
This bullet come down too, Jane.
Which one?
This bullet above it. Two bullets up from
yes.
Long term.
Yes. Yes.
That should drop in there.
Yes.
So there's three of them.
Yes, it should.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I would make that motion.
Does everyone understand what the motion is? Commissioner Garber.
I just, I think it's a good idea. The language should be for, a commission should be formed in not more than 10 years. A little nebulous because... I just wonder if we should say should be formed in 6 years or 5 years or go with the ongoing one, but it's just a minor point.
Is there a discussion about that recommendation, or would you like to leave it?
Do the co-chairs prefer the alternative, creating an ongoing committee or commission?
Well, this co-chair just wants to make sure that in our final report that this commission passes along to whoever reads it. The fact that we don't want it dropped, we'd like to see consideration given to a continuation of some sort. It makes no difference to me what the specifics of that operation are, as long as it's done in some manner.
And I would agree with that. I fear if we get more specific than that, we might lose it altogether. I think we really need to leave it there and then let them take a look at it and make their own decision about what may work. All right, there's a motion.
For three things, does that include
three.
The one, two above? Instead
yes.
of co-chairs, it's commission there as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Barros?
Yes.
Commissioner Bernstein?
Yes.
Commissioner Boone?
Yes.
Commissioner Cease?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Commissioner Garber?
Aye.
Commissioner Gordley?
Aye.
Commissioner Hunt? Commissioner Berry?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Aye.
Commissioner Carmel?
Yes.
Commissioner Lines?
Yes.
Commissioner Latimer?
Aye.
Commissioner Leeson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindy?
Aye.
Commissioner Burton?
Aye.
Commissioner Morris?
Aye.
Commissioner Schutte?
Aye.
Commissioner Staley?
Aye.
Commissioner Wilson?
I think.
Commissioner Fudd?
Aye. Again, I said yes.
Commissioner Wilhelm?
Aye.
All right, pass, it will be included in the report.
For the sake of getting us out of here very close to when we thought that we would be done, if there's anything else on the rest of this, if you have any comments, you want to make any changes or recommendations, please get to Marjorie with them.
Well, the PCOL outreach, the co-chairs have been working with each other, scheduling meetings with editorial boards, and we are continuing to do that. We have a number of meetings scheduled with interest groups, agencies, members over the next couple of weeks to talk about recommendations. And there you go.
All right. Co-chair Wilhelms, do you have any concluding comments you want to make?
Well, the only thing I'd like to, once again, I want to thank everybody for their participation and the work that we've done and staying with it today, because this wasn't particularly easy all the time. And once again, I thank Senator Morse for leading the discussion and providing the outline for the discussion. I think the points were good to be made and discussed. The only concern that I have now, it's a positive concern, it's not a negative, is that when we gather a week from today, hopefully nothing will go wrong with the adoption of the final report. What you see is what you got, and next Monday is kind of the deadline. I don't think there's a tomorrow after next Monday, so I'm hoping that we can get a majority vote to adopt the final report. Obviously, if there's something wrong or we find something that doesn't reflect the action that we've taken, we'll have to modify it. But our large and capable staff is at work making sure that it accurately reflects what the will of the commission has been. And I hope, beyond hope, that we can have a unanimous vote on our final report next Monday and that you will all have read the draft by then. Thank you.
Commissioner Morris.
Thank you. In light of your statement, I'm going to ask you something you can't answer, because it depends on what happens. What's your expectation, your fondest expectation for next Monday? Is it that we adopt it in a very short meeting? Are we open to amendments? Do we go through it and report section by section by section and vote on section by section? Do we plan on being here all day? Hopefully not the latter.
Well, your co-chairs are in for the duration, so if it takes all day, it takes all day. A quarter of a day would be a lot better.
Okay, thank you.
I think unless there is something is glaring that you just absolutely can't live with, I think we need to realize that this is, as Gary said, we're in for the long haul. You have a legislative session to be able to have your specific input on something that didn't come out quite as you had hoped. I think you've done great work. I think you've done yeoman's work, even though some of us may not have gotten just exactly the language that we wanted. So I would encourage us not to have another 8-hour day. If it's necessary, we're here, and we'll be here, and we'll get through it. But I think we need to be focused in what our comments are next Monday.
It's a good question that you asked, Senator. In our co-chair's rotation of the meetings, I get to have the gavel next time. I will assure you that we will use Masons to deal with whatever motions are made by commission members. So if you want to move to negate any information that's in it or amend it or so on, I believe that we're compelled to take the motion and deal with the motion.
Yes.
But it will be done in the spirit of trying to finish next Monday.
Right. The Bend Bulletin had a series at the end of September running into October prepared primarily by James Sinks, and we just finished a copy of all of those articles. I think there were 17 or 25, or anyway, it's a great series, and I have copies available for all of you if you'd like to read that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the weather is terrible. Drive safely and get back here Monday because we need you.
Thank you. And for all of you on the phone, thank you so much for sticking with us.
Madam Co-Chair, I've been watching the live cable cast, 5 minutes delay. A wonderful discussion.
Oh, good.
The first one. Okay, so
well, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. We're adjourned.